Turn to Proverbs chapter 19, if you will. Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs chapter 19. And once you arrive at Proverbs 19, I want you to find verse, we're going to start with verse number 18. Proverbs 19, 18. Why don't you stand with me? Out of respect to the Word of God, I'm going to read a few verses to you, and we'll get started on lesson number 2 on the subject of helping people. Proverbs 19:18, it says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel, and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." The verse that we're going to look at tonight to help us get started with the lesson is verse 19, where it says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight with thy presence. Help me, Lord, to be able to concentrate on the truth. I think we can help people tonight, Lord, but it certainly will take you in a special way to help us get this done properly. Bless us with thy Spirit's presence. God, speak to hearts, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. The sermon that I'll preach tonight, I preach to you because you're good people. And good people could possibly mean well at something, but that something not turn out so well. Do you know there are some times that you can give and your giving does not help, but it hinders certain things? You say, well, that doesn't sound exactly like the Christian life. I want you to hear me out. I call the sermon tonight, "Hurting People by Helping People." Hurting people by helping people. Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 19, it says, "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." Now, let me start by saying, I'm for helping people. I love people. And I hate sin. I've given my life to helping people. I love helping people. I love to feed the hungry. I love to put clothes on the person's back that needs clothing. I like to encourage the discouraged. I like to lift the fallen. I like to help sad people to gladden their life. I love to mend the brokenhearted and to lift up the downtrodden. I believe Luke chapter 6, verse 38, where it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Here God said, give. We're to be givers. Proverbs 25:21 says, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink." Now, that doesn't say that we're just to give water or bread to the people that we love, but it says even to our enemies. I believe that. I believe we're to give. I believe we're to give to help the people we love, and we're to give to help the people that don't love us. I believe Acts 20:35, where it says, "I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." This week, I caught the tears of a brokenhearted preacher. I wanted to give of myself to him and help him, and I wanted to be there for him. You know, I believe those verses. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Feed and clothe your enemy. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. But I have to tell you something. I not only believe those verses and that it's good for you and I as Christians to be giving, I also believe Proverbs 19:19 teaches something. Listen to it. "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." Let me explain the verse. A man has a character flaw. He can't control his temper. He's not controlling. He is one of great wrath. In other words, he goes overboard with his temper. But he's caught or found guilty for this flaw or this sin. In other words, lost his temper, he blew it. He's caught. He's guilty. Well, someone goes and bails him out. they let him off the hook. He doesn't suffer the consequences. And what the Bible says? For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You know that sometimes people don't need our help. Do you know there's sometimes people need to suffer the consequences of their wrong so that they can learn the lesson, so they don't go do the same dumb thing again? To help sometimes is to hurt. The series that I'm talking about right now or teaching is a series on helping people. Again, I call the lesson tonight hurting people by helping them. You know, when people have problems as a result of their wrongs, sometimes they need to suffer the consequences. That's one reason why we discipline our children for doing wrong. A child does wrong and then they are disciplined for it. We're hoping that they won't repeat the act. That's why the discipline is there. Discipline means we're guiding them. We're directing them. You say, well, I'm punishing them. No, all their sin. Jesus was punished for all sin. Discipline is a directional tool. Proverbs chapter 29. If you've got your Bible and you can flip to it real quickly, turn to Proverbs chapter 29. And I want you to look at verse number 15. Proverbs 29, verse number 15. Proverbs 29:15, and I'm going to read through verse number 17, and the Bible says this: the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. When the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest, yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Now, here, the Bible is teaching us that discipline produces wisdom. You let a child go through a correction process, then you're going to be able to rest someday. In other words, life will not have as much struggle for you and them if they suffer the consequences for their own wrong. But if you go around and you solve all your children's problems for them and they never have to face the consequence of their own problem, they'll just keep doing the same dumb things. This is God's way of training people to do right. You can actually help people so much you're no longer helping them. You're actually hurting them. You can give so much to people that your giving hurts them and not help them. You can solve someone else's problem so often that you're creating a problem instead of solving a problem. Did you hear the verse? For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. To make that mistake one time is expected in human, but to repeat a problem over and over and over again, there must be something going wrong. You know, we're indeed to protect the ones that we love. But let me tell you something. You're not to protect them from God. We're to protect the ones we love, but not from God. In some cases, I think God needs us to stop protecting one so that discipline may take place. God provides a thing that he calls the reproofs of life. I'll read to you. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31 and 32, it says, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Here the Bible says, you get in trouble, God will reprove you. Then that reproof produces wisdom in your life. But you know, if you get into trouble, but you're not reproved, then you don't get wisdom. So you go out and repeat the same dumb thing. Tell you a story. I have an uncle. He's now in heaven. He got saved before he passed away. He was a wild one. My uncle was always in trouble. His parents, my grandparents, I watched my uncle break my grandma and grandpa's heart repeatedly. He was a drunk. I don't know how many times he was married. I'm not sure my grandparents knew how many times he was married. Every time turn around, there was another woman and he was married to another one. Each time he was in trouble, I'll tell you what my grandparents did. Every time my uncle was in trouble, they bailed him out. Every time he was in trouble financially, they bailed him out. My grandparents were people of means. They bailed him out. He'd go to jail. They'd bail him out. He'd get in trouble with people. They'd go solve it. He'd get in trouble with our family. They would go defend him. Over and over again. I was 18 years of age. I was staying overnight with my grandma and grandpa, and I heard my grandma crying. I heard my grandpa mad. And my grandma said, they called me Jeffy even when I was 18. And grandma had a right to call me Jeffy. She could call me anything she wanted. But she said, Jeffy, your uncle is in jail. He had gotten arrested for disorderly conduct, public intoxication, illegally transporting firearms in the trunk of his car, and then resisting arrest because they really didn't think he had done anything wrong here. My grandfather was very upset. My grandmother was crying, and my grandmother said, Jeffy, you come over here. She took a big old roll of money, about that big. There was $800 in it total. She said, now you're going to go down, and right by the jail there's a bondsman, and they're waiting on you, and you're going to come in, and you're going to put up this money, and you need to go get your uncle out of jail. Never forget that. I never forget my grandmother was weeping. My grandfather was mad. Well, they got him out. Again, bailed him out. Wasn't long till he got thrown back in jail. This time, my grandfather said, that's it. I'm not bailing him out this time. I'm not bailing him out this time. My grandmother said, oh, oh, oh. My grandfather said, no, no, no. I'm not bailing his lazy, good-for-nothing carcass out again. Let him learn his lesson. That's the best thing my grandfather ever did for my uncle. My uncle never went to jail again. He did his time. He learned his lesson. His misbehavior became distasteful. He didn't have mama running to his aid to coddle baby, pat him on the head, rub his belly, keep him as a whiny, irresponsible boy. He had to grow up, become a man, pay his dues, and he did. And he did. You know what? And my grandparents could finally rest. Do you know the turmoil they were in up until that point? To get in trouble, they'd get involved emotionally. They were the ones always solving all the issues, solving all the problems, coming up with the money. Huh. It's so bad, they were in turmoil constantly. Every time the phone rang, they wondered, is he in trouble again? Now what? He suffered the consequences of his discipline, and it changed him. Listen to the verse. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Stay with me. Let me show you something. I believe sometimes we hurt people by helping them too much. I'll show you what I mean. Sometimes to help people with money is to hurt them. I want to help people. I don't mind helping people. I find people that have emergencies here and emergencies there, and we'll try to figure out a way to get money to help them. But you know that some people live in an emergency state financially perpetually. Their life is emergency 24/7. It stays that way. It's not that they don't have enough money. It's that they don't have enough character to handle their money properly. There are people with more in their family that make less than they do, and the people with more in their family that make less than they do have better finances than they do, and it's not the amount of money, it's the amount of character behind the one earning the money. Did you know to overly help people sometimes hurts them? Sometimes I don't help people so I can help them. I don't help people so I can help them. Did you know I don't give money to cash abusers? For instance, if I meet a bum on the street and he's out there panhandling and he's saying, I want money to buy food, I never give him money. It's obvious he can't handle money. So what do you do? I go get him food. But I don't give cash to money abusers. I would prefer if somebody's got a having a rough time and they don't know how to handle their money right, instead of me handing them cash, I'd rather write a check to the power company. Why? Well, it just makes sense. There comes a point. And for everybody in here, there comes a point when our children, especially our grown children, ought to know how to make it on their own. They make it on their own. And you have to be careful. I know a set of parents, and I can't, and you know what? I started this by saying I teach a lesson like this because our church is full of good people. Good people. But your goodness, if it's not controlled, can be damaging. I know a set of parents, they were the mom and dad were 60 and 64, grown children at age 40. They were paying so many of their bills. Their son and daughter-in-law both had jobs. But and these people are old enough. They were grandparents in age, still paying the bills for their grown adult children. And I mean, they're picking up their credit card bills every month and everything. They came to me, and they were kind of proud of themselves. They came and said, "Pastor, you know, our kids have a tough time paying their bills, and we pay their credit card, and we make their mortgage payment, and we help them make their car payment, but we're having a hard time paying our bills, and we don't know what to do." Boy, were they shocked when I answered the question. I said, "Stop paying your kids' bills." They said, "Well, what will they do?" I said, "Pay their own." And they said, "Well, we like helping them." And this is what I told them. You stopped helping them a long time ago. You've been hurting them by helping them. And I know in this generation, especially in this culture, we'd like to all believe that we live in such a liberal society. We live in a rotten society and a characterless society. You don't help people by doing everything for them. You help people by teaching them to stand on their own two feet and learn how to do it for themselves. So with money, you got to be careful. You help too much, you are just continuing the weakness. Let me give you something else. Through the years, have helped a lot of young married couples. I would say this, and though this only affects a few people in here, I'll teach it because it goes along with the concept. Young married couples need their parents to expect the young married couple to work things out and stay together and be their own family. You know, if every time a young married couple has struggles, they run to mom and dad all the time, how's the young couple ever going to get it together themselves? I had a young married couple Sunday school class, and Mrs. Owens and I started it, and we had virtually hundreds of young married couples that came to it. Every time I turn around, a young couple would have a tiff, and a man would call me and said, "My wife went to her parents' house for the weekend." You know, if I were that parent, I'd send her home. I'd say, "Go home. Work it out with your husband. You don't run over here and hide." Why? If you're not careful, you'll destroy somebody's marriage. You say, "But I'm helping them." You help someone by giving them a place to hide and not grow up and learn how to work through their problems. You're not helping. Oh, and there's some of you, you just go way too far with certain things in life, and you know, you're an extremist, so you'll take something like this and you'll become abusive about it. I'm just telling you that if every time a young couple has an issue, they can run to mama or run to daddy. Really, they're their own family and they need to begin to work it out. And I'm not saying parents can't help. I'm not saying that they don't need to get some help here and there. But you know, the Bible says when you get married, you leave father and mother and you cleave to your spouse. I'll tell you, I know for a fact, if Mrs. Owens and I would have had a problem when I was a young married man and I would have went home to my parents and said, "Mom and Dad, I tell you what, Sherry's just this or Sherry's that," my dad would say, "Shut up and go home." My dad did not treat me. He understood that my dad reared me to be a man, not to continue to be a boy after I got married. I'm supposed to be a man. The men work it out. Young married couples have got to learn the lessons of life for themselves. And just, I don't know of anybody in this place that has this situation, but I'm going to use it because it just so well illustrates. I was talking to a young man and his wife, or well, his wife to be, and they came to me and said, "Pastor, would you consider marrying us?" And I said, "I would consider doing that." I said, "I want to talk to you a little bit if I could first." They came and we had some premarital counseling, and I said to him, I said, "Okay, folks, when you get married, where are y'all going to live?" And he said, "We're going to live with my parents." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, are you don't have a vehicle right now. What are you going to do for a vehicle?" He said, "Well, my dad's going to lend me a car." I said, "Well, right now you don't have a job, either one of you, and where are you gonna, you know, get the finances?" And he said, "My dad's gonna loan me the money." This is what I told him. I said, "Well, then let your dad marry her." I said, "I can't marry you right now because you're not ready to be married. Because the Bible teaches you to leave father and mother and cleave to your wife. Barring some, you know, look, if a young person has medical needs or something, I understand there's a little difference. But a normal, everyday young man and young woman that want to get married, what's supposed to happen is they're supposed to grow up and learn to take care of themselves. And you know, that dad that was going to provide them a place to stay and provide them a car and provide them money, in his heart he said, "I'm helping them." Was he really? He was allowing the immaturity to continue. So see, sometimes, did you know that sometimes financially somebody ought to go without? You say, "Well, that hurt them?" Maybe for a little while. Not as much as it'll help them when they grow up and figure out how to make their own way. A young couple, you say, "Well, but wouldn't that be rough on them?" Listen, when we started out with nothing. We learned to be satisfied with nothing. And we slowly but surely, you know, young couples today, they want to get married and have a new car and new furniture and a new house. And they want a big fancy this and a big fancy that. We started out with nothing. I think a 700 square foot apartment, everything that we had was used, beat up and stank and was ugly. We've been married for going on 35 years and we've worked hard to get where we're at. But the young couples of the day, they want everything today that mom and dad took 30 years to get. And if mom and dads are not careful and they coddle them, they're coddling their immaturity, and those kids will never get to where they're supposed to be. Do you understand the concept? I'm not trying to be a mean preacher. I'm telling you, sometimes we help people so much we hurt them. And I'm for helping people. But you can help to the point of hurting. Let me give you another way of looking at this. To overly help your child with their schoolwork is to hurt them. Matter of fact, just so you all understand, there's a thing called cheating. When the parent provides the answer that the child was to provide, that's cheating. So I'm helping them. Oh, parents doing work for their kids is not honest. Don't cheat. I think you can help them. We're not trying. Folks, did you know we're not trying to get a good grade? We're trying to learn. I know that sounds like an odd concept. I call it educational welfare. A parent provides what the child will not work for, or for which the child will not work. I also believe teachers are not supposed to give grades, but that students are to earn grades. A teacher that gives everybody a good grade for the sake of giving them a good grade, and that teacher says, "I'm helping them." No, you're not. You're hurting them. Because there's coming a day when people are not going to just hand them everything, and they're not going to get a good grade because of the grace of the teacher, but they're going to have to earn a grade because of the brain of the student, and some teacher in the past cheated them out of an education. You can help people so much that you hurt them. We need to stop the vicious cycle of educational food stamps in America. And I'm not talking about food stamps. I'm talking about people getting a free ride educationally when they should have earned it. And might I tell you also, those of you, if your child gets an F in school, it's a rare time, it's a rare occasion that that's the teacher's fault. I've got news for you. I've worked in education for years. There's more than one time, you know, I had 54 people at my last church on staff. I had pre-K3 teacher and a pre-K4 teacher and a K5 teacher and a first grade teacher and a second grade teacher and a third grade and fourth and a fifth and a sixth and a seventh and an eighth and a ninth, 10th, 11th and a 12th. I had college teachers and seminary teachers and they all worked for me. And you could give a student a grade that the student earned and parents will come in and tell a teacher off and give a teacher a hard time and say, "How could you treat my child that way?" And I would think, "You're an idiot, buddy. Your child earned an F and here you are chewing out the teacher. You better stop and realize something. The best thing that teacher ever did was give your child an F so your child will brighten up and study and work hard and we're not going to carry them." And that's what's wrong with America today. Everybody wants somebody to carry them. I'm not a socialist. I have no intent of voting for a socialist. It'll destroy America. But it's everywhere. You see, to overly help your child with schoolwork is to hurt your child. I believe teachers need to learn how to teach. Just giving out information is not teaching to me. There's more to it than that. And I think if a whole class is failing, probably the teacher needs to work on that. But when your child's the one that failed and everybody else made it, it could be your child. Oh, that's so hard to swallow. And so you all know, Mrs. Owens and I have 4 children. And we know that feeling of wanting to defend, and we understand all that. But you'll hurt your child if you help your child too much. And some of you, I'll tell you, and we have kids that go to Christian schools here. We have kids that go to public school here. We have kids that go to homeschool. I'm going to tell you all something. You better take an interest in your child's education. If you're homeschooling, you better make sure they're actually getting an education. We're not just playing around. Your child will end up so far behind in life, it's pathetic. If you're going to a Christian school, you better make sure you are putting your best foot forward. If you're going to public school, keep yourself clean while you are putting your best foot forward. But you have a pastor that's interested in education. I believe in education. Not because I think it's a god. I just happen to believe that you, as a Christian, you ought to be smart enough to do something, to accomplish something for God in life. But do you understand the concept? If somebody is always misusing their money and you always bail them out, you're not fixing the problem, you're hurting them. They need to grow up and learn to handle their money. Say, "Well, wonder if they lose their car?" Let them. That'll teach them. And if it doesn't, let them lose something else. And usually, I'm not a male chauvinist pig. I'm a pig, but I'm not a male chauvinist pig. But so often, it's the mama that is a soft one. And let me tell you why, ladies. Because you're good. And I mean that. You're good. There's a goodness about you. In the times when I needed to make some very strong decisions, Mrs. Owens, she might be hanging on to my arm, crying, saying, honey, please. And I'd say, "No, I'm telling you, sweetheart, I know they've got to learn this lesson. I'm not bailing them out this time. I'm not going to, please, honey, bail them out. And a few times I've given in because I just couldn't take it. But you know what? She and I have pulled together and realized we will hurt if we help too much. Because everybody has to grow up and make it on their own. Let me give you some other areas where this applies. In areas of character weakness, let me tell you something, parents. You want your child to learn. They're told, and listen very carefully, to clean their room. But they don't want to clean their room. And mama doesn't want to have to make them clean their room. So she cleans it for them. Can I tell you, every time you clean it for them, you have delayed the inevitable lesson that they must learn in life. You say, "But it could be weeks." Let them live in the pigsty. If your children are to do, you say, their clothes are everywhere. They won't have any clothes to wear. Well, sooner or later, they're going to figure out that in that pigsty is their success, their clothes, their reputation, how bad they smell. You know what? They'll figure it out. You say, you're tough. It's called tough love. The more you clean for them, the more you'll have to clean for them. That's just the way it is. And now, I know, there's somebody in here who's got a three-year-old, and you're going to get your whip out, and you're going to beat them tomorrow. Well, you're an idiot, and you don't know how to rear kids. But I'm telling you, there's some kids in here that are 12, 13, and 14 years of age, and your kids are lazy. You need to face it. Some of you have lazy kids, and they got bad attitudes. And you know what you need to do? You need to clamp down a little bit. You say, that'd be unpopular. Parents have been unpopular before, folks. My dad, there were times he was not my favorite person. Just cleaning the room. You take debt. Look, people want to go out and get themselves in a whole bunch of debt and then not attend to it. Every time you bail them out, you've told them, again, it's okay to be in outrageous debt. What do? Every once in a while, you know, loss matures you. I've lost some things. I almost can't look out there. There's so many people that are affected by this sort of a teaching. But let me tell you, watch out bailing people out of their debts all the time. Sometimes they just might need to lose something. Hey, the subject of things. Your parents didn't give you much and you didn't have much. Watch this philosophy. We didn't have anything growing up as a child. And I did without so many things, so I'm going to make sure my child does without nothing. You might want to be careful there. You came out of it and you're accomplished and you achieved something. If you give your child everything, you may regret it. Major corporations in America that are handed over to second generation that didn't build it usually destroy it. See, you must teach them the lessons of how to get, and you don't get through mommy and daddy. Primary way to get is to work. Work and pray. You say, well, I pray and I don't get anything. Well, I guess you better work then, huh? So, take the cleaning of the room, or debt, or things. Hey, I watch people let their children almost destroy their lives. I was preaching in Pennsylvania. A young man came to me and he said, Brother Owens, I need to talk with you. He said, my wife and I, our relationship is just a mess. And I met with him for a little while and I counseled with him for a little while. And I come to find out that their daughter was 3 years of age and still sleeping in their bed. And I said, you know, folks, that's not natural. I said, their private life was almost destroyed. Why? They had a three-year-old sleeping with them. And I said to them, I said, folks, you need to put her in her own bed. And the mother said, oh, she cries. I said, no, really? I said, but I promise you something. She will stop. They all do. It's a lesson that needs to be learned. But mom said, I'm helping. You were not helping a child that's three that's still sleeping with mommy and daddy and not in their own bed yet. The timing's wrong in that. It's just like parents will say, I'm not going to put my children in the nursery. You're not helping your child by not putting them in the nursery. You're hurting them. I don't think it is the child that is suffering the anxiety. I think it is the parent. And you hurt yourself that way. Sometimes my convictions just slip out and you can figure them out. But I believe America has almost destroyed herself through welfare. You feel sorry for somebody that doesn't have much, so what do? Instead of teaching them to work, you teach them to depend on somebody that does work. is it Bernie Sanders? Is that the man that was at the Democratic, the Democrats debate? I can't believe we had a socialist on national television who's running for president of the United States of America. And you know what he said? You elect me, we'll give you stuff. We'll let all the rich, hardworking people give you stuff. You know how much of America liked that? Come on! Give us stuff! We're not helping America by giving things to people. Now, hey, listen, I am for helping people that can't take care of themselves. I think when people are disabled, I think when people are hurting and sick, I'm for helping people. But people that are capable, able-bodied, but just not willing, you're not helping them by helping them. You're perpetuating their eventual destruction. And it's all a maturity thing. You know, grown children can prove that they're grown by their behavior, not their size. Advise them. But you can't solve other problems. You know what? Let me give you some advice. I was a supervisor. I ran machine shops, and the men, grown men, there were times they could not get along in the shop. I could walk into the lunchroom. There are two guys in there fussing and fighting. Do you know that every time I saw that, I didn't always step in and solve it? There are times I go in the lunchroom. There are two guys in there arguing. I'm the manager. I turn around, walk off. Say, why? If I solve every problem, are they ever going to learn conflict resolution? Are they ever going to learn to get along? There are times when they needed to solve the problem. Our children, Mrs. Owens and I both, our kids, we had four kids, especially our three boys. They could get to fussing about some of the dumbest things. The dumbest things. And a part of me, because I am a problem solver, I want to solve the problem. A part of me, when the boys were having it out, a part of me wanted to every time step in. But there are times I needed to walk away, and those boys needed to learn to resolve the problem in a sensible way between themselves. You say, why? Because I wanted them to grow up in life and to go out into life and learn how to resolve problems. If every time your child has a struggle at school, mama runs down there and she's right there involved in all of it, is that child ever going to learn to resolve their own problems? Are they ever going to learn to face the consequences of their own problems? Sometimes we can solve so many problems for other people that they don't grow. And I'll tell you what. Some of you in a great way would say, oh, brother, this is really, really true. And those of you that would say that, they wear you out, don't they? They'll wear you out. Because it's always something new. It's always something else. Always facing another one. What now? What could they, what? Now, you got to use some wisdom. And I'm not trying to tell you to be mean. But sometimes people have to learn to do it for themselves. When my kids were little, there was a point where they couldn't hold a spoon. So you know what Mrs. Owens and I did? We'd stick the spoon in and we'd say, all right, it's an airplane. Open up the hangar, in comes, and we'd stick the food in and they'd take the food off the spoon. Do you know, if I had Charlotta, who used to be in Owens till Ellswick stole her from me, but if I had her come up here, I can promise you she can hold her own spoon now. But if the only way that girl could eat is if mom or dad fed her, I guess she couldn't survive. And there are sometimes we provide to the point of creating weakness in the people around us. You'll find this out. I'll answer any question any of you have about church building, ministry, whether it's Sunday school, bus route. I'll answer any of it. But you'll also find this. I won't be running to you all the time begging you to ask me. You say, why? I'm glad for you to learn. I want you to learn. And I don't mean this vainly. There's probably not a problem that the church has that I don't know how to solve, that I've not faced at one point or another, and I could step in and take care of it. Sometimes I don't. You say, well, don't you care? Oh, yes, I do. I care. But I'd like you to grow. So every once in a while, somebody, let them solve the problem. It's good for them. I've been in enough jams. I'll never forget the night. I hate to admit it, but my car, when I was 16, I shouldn't have had, is a very nice Dodge Charger with an engine that I shouldn't have had. And it would spin the tires and virtually pull the front end up off the ground. And the police officer that pulled me over that night was not really impressed with the car. And they towed my car and took me to jail. And I was 16 years of age. And they called my parents and said, you either come get him or he's going to spend the night in jail. I was 16. And my mother, they were laying in bed. It was 11 o'clock. I was out past curfew. The back end of my car was too high to be legal. I got arrested for disturbing the peace with tires and mufflers, speeding, endangering the public. You wouldn't believe the list that they told my parents. Man, I'm sweating. And I heard, I mean, the police officer, he handed the phone. He said, here are your parents. I said, Mom, come get me. I'm in a lot of trouble. My mom turned to my dad and said, Jeff's in trouble. My mom said, let's go get him. My dad said, let him spend a night in jail. I went, what? No! No, please! Now, my dad made my mom wait 2 hours before she came to get me. The last thing I heard was hear my dad say, let him spend the night in jail. Man, I handed, now I didn't know it, but I handed that phone back to that police officer, and he said, thank you, folks, and my parents must have said, it's going to be a while before we get there. Because this guy's going along with it. I'm thinking, I'm going to jail. It's going to be bad. It's going to be really bad. And I'm going, oh, Lord, I want to get saved again. And I'm so sorry. And I'll never do this again. And forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I'll do anything you want me to do. And I was getting right with God. My mom came to get me, and she said, we had to go get my car. She said, do you want to drive or you want me to drive? I said, you drive. I don't want to drive home. I got rid of the car. And, you know, pretty much from that point on, as a young person, I didn't get in trouble with my car anymore. But I'll tell you why. Because my dad put the fear of God in me. I'm glad he wanted to knock it out of me early. Now, again, some of you're just extremists. You can take something like this and take it so far that you're abusive to people. What I'm telling you is there's a responsibility lesson that must be learned for people to mature. And if you fix everything every time for everybody, you end up with weak people. You know what's scary about that? If it's your kids, well, what are they going to do when you're gone? I would like to believe that if I die today, all of my children will be fine. Because it was not money that I passed on to them. It was the character to develop anything in life that needed to be developed for them to survive. And their character is what needs developed. That's the primary thing. You can give them money and then spend that. If you give them character, then they can survive. So, the verse, and we're done. The verse says, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. What's it saying? So somebody that gets themselves in trouble, you go bail them out every time. They're just going to repeat it. You're going to have to bail them out again, and then you're going to have to bail them out again. Every once in a while, let them just face the consequences. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, take what's been said tonight. Get glory to thyself. God, help someone that doesn't think right not to twist what's been said and be hurtful, but help us to realize sometimes we can help out of the goodness of our heart so much that the recipient is not growing. They're not becoming what they ought to become. So every once in a while, you help someone by not helping them. Please help us to learn this lesson with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Young people, there are some of you, you want mom and dad to help you with everything. Some of you, it'd be good for you to grow up a little bit and say, you know what, I'm going to learn to do what I'm supposed to do without being helped. You might think, wow, this is great. My mom just takes care of everything for me. Well, I'll tell you something. If mama takes care of everything for you, you're going to find that one day mama won't be around. You'll have a mess. So there's some young people, you need to learn to stand on your own two feet. There's some parents, rethink it. I'm not telling you to be rude or nasty, but I am telling you, be careful. You can hurt by helping too much. Who here tonight would say, tucked somewhere in this lesson, I've learned something valuable that it's going to help me in life? And you'll raise your hand. You say, I learned something. I've been challenged in an area, and I'm going to remember it. It'll help me. You may put those hands down. We'll have an altar call. It won't last long. We'll have the prayer list, and we'll be on our way. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Remember, every time you do what your child should have been doing for themselves, every time you do it for them and you feel like you're helping, you might not be helping as much as what you think. They've got to learn to do it for themselves. That's really helping. Developing their ability, developing their character. Hey, developing their conflict resolution. They've got to learn some of that. And they're to learn that at home. Brothers and sisters need to learn to figure it out, how to get along. If you fix their financial problem every time, they will always have a financial problem. If somebody that works for you, you have to solve every problem they have. You'll be babysitting them for the rest of your life. Sometimes they just need to figure it out. Let them grow. Thank you, Mrs. Young.